1 Kings 19, verses 4 through 8. But he himself, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. Is it enough now, O Lord? Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of the food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. And now from John 6, verses 25 through 41 and 47 through 51. When the crowd found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him now that God the Father has set his seal." That they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What signs are you going to give us? Give us then, so that we may see it and believe it. What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread anyway." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came from heaven. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Cole. Let us begin with prayer. O good and gracious God, we pray that all of our thoughts, all of our meditations would be pleasing to you, that you would speak to us this day, that we would hear your voice, and that we would be able to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we are now 4.5 years past the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Many of us remember exactly the time that we realized that this was going to stay. But while COVID is still here, we are living with it in many different ways now. Our lives continue to be disrupted. I know 3 people who've had COVID in just the past few weeks. But our cultural response is different. As we live with the virus, but we no longer have those strict protocols that originally tried to keep us safe. If you were watching the Olympics this week, you may have seen Noah Lyles compete in the men's 200-meter race. An incredible runner. Won the bronze medal. And then after the race, he collapsed and he ended up having to be carried off in a wheelchair. And later we find out that he had tested positive and been wearing a mask 2 days before that race. Well, unlike the Tokyo Olympics with COVID protocols and rules, nobody could even watch, everybody had to, all the rules. This year, the response was simply up to the athlete. Well, now here we are a few years away from the beginning days, we have actually begun to look back. And we remember what was going on in our lives when we realized that that shutdown that we thought was going to last for a week was going to be more than a week and then more than a month. We remember some very surprising cultural responses, some disturbing, some just interesting, like the shortage of toilet paper, the price of eggs doubling, and perhaps some of you may have experienced this one. People who had never baked a day of their life suddenly fascinated with baking bread. As a matter of fact, there was such a wave of people baking bread that there was a shortage of yeast. And so then there became a second wave, a wave of rise of the sourdough bread. Because you see, sourdough bread does not use yeast from a packet, it uses a natural yeast. And so in social media, we began to see stories of these sourdough journeys, their mishaps, their challenges, hopefully eventually some triumph of mastering this perfect loaf of sourdough bread. There were friends and families who had sourdough baking challenges among themselves, seeing virtually what they came up with in their own kitchens. Celebrities and influencers began baking, sharing things on social media. Actors and musicians, occasionally a chef, but mostly people who had no idea what they were doing. So baking bread was described during this time as therapy. It was helping people manage the stress and anxiety, providing for them a sense of routine and accomplishment, and then the tactile process of kneading the dough and the comforting aroma of the bread baking. And of course, the wonderful taste as it comes right out of the oven with a little bit of butter, a little bit of honey. Well, it was often described as soothing, as life-giving. Then there were some who also took this thing and made it for good. They called baking for good to go take their bread to frontline workers or to food banks. But looking back, I think it's interesting to wonder why baking bread captured our national attention. Why was it not cakes or pies or cookies? I mean, think of the many varieties of cake. You have pound cake. You could have a pound cake, pound off. Or you could have hummingbird is my absolute favorite, carrot cake, chocolate cake. I could go on and on, much like when they did the shrimp in the movie. Thank you, Forrest Gump. But perhaps it is that bread is foundational. It is symbolic of our basic need for nourishment. So when the whole world seemed to be tilting and we didn't know what was going to come next, perhaps we wanted to hold on to something that grounded us. So I'm reminded of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which I studied in college. Perhaps you may have studied it if you took Psychology 101. Often that is one that people don't read, but they study. Well, it's this motivational theory in psychology, and it comprised of a 5-tier model made like a triangle, a pyramid, having human needs, with often the one on the bottom considered the basic need. So the 5 levels go from physical needs at the bottom, safety and security, love, belonging, self-esteem, and self-actualization at the very top. Generally, he said that lower-level basic needs like food, water, and safety must be met before the higher needs can be fulfilled. Well, the levels are not really fixed. There, people experience them in different ways, but they do tend to illustrate this typical human need. And as I looked at that, I thought the pandemic took away the second level, the sense of safety and security. Perhaps when that was taken away, people began baking bread to strengthen the foundational level, to meet the basic physical needs. I wonder if this same very human need for our foundational needs to be met is why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Give us this day our daily bread." Prayer not for cake or cookies, but for bread that provides nutrients and which our body can use for energy. I am reminded of one of my very favorite communion and bread stories, which is early in my life working in the church. I worked at Advent United Methodist Church, and my children were 4 and 6, and my husband, who's also a pastor, we would trade weeks. And so some weeks I would have both, and he'd have the other ones the other week. Some week we would split, and one would have one of each. But on this one particular Sunday, we walked into the sanctuary, my daughter, who was 4 at the time, and we walk in, and she looks up all the way down at the table. She looks at the table, and she sees on the table the elements prepared for worship. And her eyes light up, and she looks up at me, and she says, "It's communion! Yes!" And I'll never forget that moment, because it taught me that a gift offered by the baker, whose name was Virginia, instilled in my small daughter a visceral response to communion. That in the tasting of bread, which Virginia's bread was really good, as we have here at Trinity, by the way, Anna was also being shown, before she could verbalize and talk about theology, she learned that God is good. Psalm 34 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And when I read this, I know that Virginia taught my daughter this truth through her gift of bread. Do you remember when, and during COVID, all the churches very quickly had to figure out all these technological geniuses that pastors are, had to figure out how to go online? Well, about a month in, we realized that things were not going to change, and we had to figure out how to have communion virtually. Well, for me, the one requirement was that the elements should show the goodness of God, whatever people used in their home. And this is the reason I really did not like those little take-home cup wafers. I don't know if you ever saw those. They tasted like paper. It did not show me the goodness of God. But I was okay with Cheez-Its and grape juice, because there was something good about that. Taste and see that God is good. Well, today's reading from chapter 6 of John is filled with references to bread. Right before this passage, Jesus' disciples were present with Jesus when Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed 5,000 men plus women and children, and then had 12 big baskets left over. Jesus wanted them to know that God not only meets our needs, but God provides with generous abundance. And here, after that feeding of the 5,000, that sign that they had seen Jesus already perform, they're questioning. And Jesus was reminding them of how God provided manna in the wilderness, bread directly from heaven, providing for the needs of the Israelites. Jesus tells them that the true bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus continues with the first of 7 I am statements found in John. You know some of them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. And this one Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus here has replaced that foundational bottom of Maslow's pyramid. Jesus himself is foundational, not just physical needs such as food and water, but Jesus is what we need to live. Not simply to live today, but Jesus goes on to say that whoever believes, and that word also means trust, has eternal life. And in case your next question is, well, what does that mean? Jesus, later in John, prays for his disciples. He prays that they may know, saying, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is knowing God, knowing Jesus. Eternal life is more than just living after death. It is more life. It is knowing God and knowing Jesus now. It is not just quantity, more life, but it's also quality, more life. Eternal life is knowing Jesus, the bread of life, which leads to abundant life both now and at the resurrection. The bread of life is more than meeting our basic needs. It is relationship with Jesus. Takes us straight up that triangle of needs to the level of love and belonging and the very top of purpose and meaning. It is not simply providing for our basic needs. It is provision beyond our imagining. And this is not the first time or the only time that God has shown such extravagant provisioning. The Bible is filled with stories that show God's loving, extravagant nature. This morning, the passage we heard from Kings, God gave unexpected provision to the prophet Elijah. Let me set the stage for a minute so you know what's going on here. So Elijah has just won a battle with the prophets of Baal, which was like worthy of a Marvel movie. But after the death of all those prophets, Jezebel, who you may have heard of before, she's pretty bad, she has threatened Elijah, and Elijah has fled. The passage tells us it was a day he'd gone a day's journey into the wilderness. That's quite a far way into the wilderness. Ahab, the evil king, is in pursuit. Elijah is despairing. Elijah is so filled with despair, fear, just overwhelmed, that Elijah sits down and asks God to let him die. But God instead sends an angel who bakes for him on the hot stones. The angel wakes Elijah and gets him to eat. Elijah wakes up, eats, and goes back to sleep. A second time, the angel awakes him, saying, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." This provision was not only unexpected. He's in the middle of the wilderness. He's dead asleep. He's awoken by the angel of the Lord. But it was all that Elijah needed for all that was to come. The angel gently woke him, saying, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." I want you to notice what the angel did not say. The angel did not say, "Arise and eat because you aren't strong enough," or "Arise and eat because you're not good enough," or "Arise and eat because you got to run because you messed up," or "Arise and eat because you can't do this." No, rather the angel simply gives Elijah what he needs, acknowledging that it's not that Elijah's not enough, but that the journey is too great. The journey is so great that Elijah needs bread from heaven, the only bread that can give him the strength that is needed. We read next that Elijah went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. 40 days and 40 nights. That's some bread. This is the bread that keeps on nourishing. That is the bread from heaven. The angel of the Lord gave Elijah food for the journey, all that he needed. And so when Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the bread of life," He knows that they know this story of Elijah, for they would have learned it when they were very small from their parents, just like my daughter learned that God was good from the taste of bread, attending worship, and taking communion. Jesus wants them to know that God meets us, even in our darkest places, just as he did Elijah. In our times of despair, in our times of trouble, in our times of fear, in our times of darkness, Jesus wants them to know that God meets us there and feeds us the bread of life. By comparing himself to bread, Jesus makes himself as necessary to us as the food we eat each morning. He is our food. He is our consolation when we are troubled. He is our strength when we are weak. He is our source when we are exhausted. He is our peace when we are filled with fear. He is our light when we are in darkness. This bread gives us strength for the journey, for whatever we encounter. Not because we aren't strong enough or good enough, or because the journey is often hard. This life is often filled with heartbreak, grief, challenges that seem insurmountable, times when we, like Elijah, want to run far, far away. But whatever you are going through, know this today: Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread that gives strength for the journey. Jesus is the bread that nourishes beyond our human needs. Jesus is the bread that leads to fullness of life. Jesus is the bread that leads to eternal life. The Psalms tell us, taste and see that God is good. Taste the bread of life. Receive God's extravagant provision. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. It is through deep, abiding relationship with Jesus that we experience the fullness of life that leads to eternal life. Taste and see. Receive the bread of life. Jesus is that bread of life. So taste and see that God is good. Thanks be to God.